Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I am going to be speaking to you today from Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. We have a very important and very needful verse to look at today. Very, very critical. Not only is this wise counsel, this is critical information. I feel very deeply burdened to tell you this. This is the difference in seeing or missing Christ. This is the difference in inheriting eternal life or missing eternal life. Being denied eternal life. So it's very critical. And I pray that the Lord will open our eyes to it, cause us to see this great difference here. Hebrews 13, verse 9 says, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is good, it is a good thing, that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace." What he's saying is, don't be taken up with doctrines. That's what he's saying. Don't be taken up with doctrines. Be established with grace. Be established with grace, not carried away with doctrines. Now, what does that mean? What is it to be carried away? He said, carried about with doctrines, these different doctrines. And what is it to be established with grace? What does he mean? The word doctrine means teaching. That's what it means. Words. Instruction. When people talk about doctrine, that's the definition of the word. Teaching. Instruction. Words. And there is only one doctrine in the Word of God. I want to repeat that. I want to emphasize that. That is not up for debate. That is the concrete truth. There is only one doctrine in the Word of God. There's only one doctrine. Let me show it to you. In 2 John, just before Revelation, it's just a few pages over. 2 John, there's only one chapter in the book of 2 John. 2 John verse 9 says, "Whosoever transgresseth," that means whosoever sins, "whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ." Whoever sins against God and does not live in, abide in, be firmly built on the doctrine of Christ hath not God. That's what it says. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now watch this right here, verse 10. "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine." Do you see how it's saying there's only one? There is one. There's one doctrine. Verse 10. "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." There is only 1. All of the teaching in God's Word, this teaching, this instruction, all of the instruction in the Holy Scripture speaks of one thing. It's all speaking of one thing: Christ crucified. Jesus Christ crucified. The Bible, the Scripture, is the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ, the instruction of Christ. The Scripture tells sinners about Christ. It's all about Christ. This is the doctrine of Christ. Now, in Titus chapter 2, verse 9, that verse calls it the doctrine of God our Savior. The doctrine of God our Savior. Who is our Savior? Who's our Savior? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. How did He save us? It's the doctrine of our Savior. How did He save us? He was crucified. He gave Himself. He gave His life. He gave His body. He shed His blood. He was crucified. Christ crucified. 1 Timothy 1 verse 3 says, teach no other doctrine. This ought to be proof to us that there are not lots of doctrines in the Bible and you can just grab the one you want and go with that. There's one doctrine. 1 Timothy 1 verse 3 says, teach no other doctrine. Don't teach any other doctrine. If a man's going to stand up, he better not teach any other doctrine than the doctrine of Christ. Acts chapter 2 verse 42 calls it the apostles' doctrine. They had one doctrine. All of the apostles had one doctrine. They all preached one thing. Our Lord called it in John chapter 7, verse 16, my doctrine. That's what He referred to it as, my doctrine. Every time the word doctrines, plural, with an S on the end, every time the word doctrines is used in the Scripture, it refers to false teaching. Every time. False teaching. Our text said, divers and strange doctrines. Look with me at Matthew 15. Over in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, our Lord said, but in vain they do worship me. In vain. It won't come to anything. It's empty. They worship me in a vain way, in a vanity way. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That's what our Lord said. He said, they're worshiping me in vain. There are a lot of people who are going through the motions of worshiping God. It appears as though that they're worshiping God. They go to a building and they go through all the motions that appear to be worshiping God, but God said they're not. It's all in vain. And the reason is because they are teaching and hearing and believing for doctrines the commandments of men. That's all they are. Our Lord said that. They're just man-made commandments. And you and I need to hear this because I'm concerned for our soul. I'm concerned for our eternal soul. I'm concerned about the eternity that we're going to go into. I don't want us to be deceived. I don't want us to hear the wrong teaching. I do not want to hear the doctrines of men. I don't believe you do either. You don't want to hear a man stand up and just give his own opinion. Well, I think, well, that won't do me any good, and it won't do you any good. Man-made commandments. That's mostly what is being preached in pulpits today. Do you know that? Man-made instruction. It is man-made teaching. Men stand up and they teach whatever they believe is the truth instead of what God says is the truth. There is eternal danger in that. There is eternal danger. Now, in regard to the truth, there is a phrase that is used in reference to the truth of God's Word. And that phrase is the doctrines of grace. People say the doctrines of grace. Man made up that phrase. Man, that phrase is not in the Scripture. Man made that up. And the reason is because there are five, that's why they say doctrines, there are five individual truths that are clearly seen in the Word concerning salvation. Five basic principles, I guess we could say, five facts that the Word declares to us concerning salvation. And it's not that there's really anything wrong with that phrase. Man talks about the doctrines of grace. It's not that there's something in particularly wrong with that phrase, but this is what true believers come to understand. When God reveals the truth of the Word and He points them to Christ crucified and He gives them faith to see and a heart to believe, and this is what they come to understand. God's people, they do not believe on the doctrines of grace. Some people do. I believe the doctrines of grace. Some people do. They do not believe on. They are not casting their all on the doctrines of grace. They believe on Christ. And I know it sounds like we're splitting hairs here, but they need to be split. They cast their all on Christ, a person. They do not trust in the doctrines of grace. They trust in Christ. They trust Him. They trust the Word they read because it's coming from Him. They trust Him. They do not come to the doctrines of grace. I've had many people tell me that. They'll tell me their history and tell me their story, and they'll say, that's the moment I came to the doctrines of grace. Well, God's people don't come to the doctrines of grace. They come to Christ. They come to Christ. Now, when a sinner comes to Christ, when God draws him, no man can come to Christ except the Father which sent Christ draw that sinner to Christ. But when God draws him, when a sinner comes to Christ, will that sinner know and understand and agree with what men call the doctrines of grace? What is seen in the Scripture, that there's five of them, that all men are totally depraved? It's called TULIP, T-U-L-I-P, total depravity. Will they believe that men are just completely sinners, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? And will they believe that God the Father, unconditionally on the part of the sinner, God the Father elected particular sinners to save? It was an unconditional election because everybody was totally depraved. And will they believe that the Lord Jesus Christ did not die for everybody? Some people believe that He just shed His blood just for anybody and everybody, and some of His blood's going to be wasted and some of His blood is going to be used. That's not so. Will they believe that Christ died for His elect? Christ died for His people? Christ died for all the souls that the Father chose and gave to Him? It was a successful redemption. Will they believe that God's Spirit is going to call every chosen, redeemed sinner to a knowledge of Christ and the salvation that He accomplished for them? And will a child of God believe that he or she is going to be kept all the way to glory with no possibility of being lost. Total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement only for the ones that the Father gave to Christ, irresistible grace and perseverance of the saints. Will a child of God understand that and agree with that? Absolutely. Absolutely. He'll see it in the Word. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And God said, I will not come to him that I might have life. I'm dead in my trespasses and sins. I can't come because I'm dead, and I won't come because my heart is at enmity against him. I'm the natural enemy of the things of God. So he had to unconditionally choose me because I wouldn't choose him. And Jesus Christ, when he cried, it is finished, that means all of his particular people were redeemed. The successful Savior. If he's not the successful Savior, I don't have any hope. If he started the work, but it's left up to me to finish it, I don't have any hope. Charles Spurgeon made a wonderful statement one time, an old preacher from the 1800s. He said, if I was standing at the very threshold of heaven, the very threshold of the gates of eternity, and the last step was up to me, I'd never make it in. If I just had to step over, he said, I'd never make it in. And God's call has come to me. And in spite of my selfish will, he has overruled me and put faith in me to believe on Christ and love him. Love the fact that he's God. And I know he's going to keep me because he's God. He's going to keep me all the way to the end. In Christ, I'm already kept. Will God's people believe that? Absolutely. But here's the critical thing to know. If any of those individual details, if a believer starts to become carried away, hung up on any of those individual details, and starts to become carried away from the simplicity of the person and the work and the focus of Christ himself. If I get so hung up on one of those points that I just completely lose sight of the man himself, the moment that we lose sight of the man, we have become carried away from the man by doctrine, by doctrines. The moment that our mind and our heart and our focal point, the moment we become focused on something other than the person, the moment we become stuck on something, we've lost sight of the man. And we have become carried about by a wind of doctrine, whatever doctrine it is. There is a difference in knowing doctrines and knowing Christ. There are some who cannot believe what he said because they're just so hung up on a particular doctrine. There are some who can't trust him because they're so hung up on trusting this format that they've conceived in their mind around this doctrine. There is a difference in worshiping doctrines and worshiping Christ. There's a difference. And that difference is life and death. It's not just so close, well, either way. It's life and death. It is life and death. Doctrines have never saved anybody. Doctrines have never saved anybody. Salvation is of the Lord. This is important. Doctrines do not lead men to Christ. Christ leads men to doctrine. That thief on the cross, he He couldn't give you a theological dissertation on the things of the Word of God if you just cried, "Lord, would you remember me? I'm a sinner." That's what he was saying. I'm a sinner. He told that other thief, "We indeed justly, we're getting what we deserve. We're sinners. But this man hath done nothing amiss. This man is perfect. This man is sinless. This man is God." And he said, "Don't you fear God? Salvation is in His hands. This is His choice. It's His election." And he could see he's hanging on a cross, dying for his people. And then he asked the Lord, "I see this is by your grace. Would you shed your grace on me? Would you remember me?" And the Lord said to him, "Today, you're going to be with me in paradise. You're going to be there." You see the difference? That man didn't realize it, but he was confessing all five facts declared in the Word of God. But it was all around the person of a man. Salvation is of the Lord. He is the issue. He is the only issue. Every other issue is just divers and strange doctrines. That's all it is. Let me show you a couple of them. Different things that men instruct that are not taught in the Word of God. Over in Colossians 2, if you look with me at Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days." All these different things, they're just things that people believe are doctrines that'll save their soul. All these things he just listed. The Jews believe that if they don't eat pork, it will save their soul. Many people believe that if alcohol never touches their lips, it'll save their soul. Some believe that as long as I go to church on Easter and Mother's Day and Christmas and these holy days, it'll save my soul. Some people believe that if they make themselves absolutely miserable on Sunday, just miserable, you just have to walk around with a straight face, you just can't smile, you can't let your children play, we have to observe the Sabbath now. Some people believe that if they do that, it will save their soul. It's not so. It's not so. People believe that somehow things, divers and strange doctrines concerning things, will be the things that save their soul. But it's not so. Let's not be carried about with these things. Verse 16, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." All those things are pointing to Christ. This is what it is to be established with grace. Down in verse 20, he said, "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not." And that's what men stand up and tell people. You've probably heard a man stand in a pulpit and say, "Now touch not, taste not, handle not." He said, why are they telling people that? Verse 20, "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ," if he died to put away your sins, "if you're dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, and neglecting the body, not in honoring to the satisfying of the flesh," though it's there's some wisdom in touching not and tasting not and handling not certain things, but it's not going to save ourselves. Things will never save anybody. Do's and don'ts don't save people. Do's and don'ts do not save people. Christ does. Christ does. So he said back in our text in Hebrews 13, verse 9, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Grace means gift. Christ is the gift. The work he accomplished, the death he died, that's the only thing that will save a sinner's soul. What he did and freely gave. It is a good thing that a sinner's heart be established with Christ. Christ. If a sinner's heart is established with Christ, the next time that that sinner hears, now you better not eat that or you better not drink that, you'll lose your salvation. If a sinner's heart is established with Christ, he will say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He's my meat. He's my drink. He said, this is my body broken for you. Take, eat. He said, this is the New Testament of my blood. My salvation is not dependent on physical food and drink. It's on him. When somebody says, now you better watch your holiness. Are you being as holy as you can possibly be? If a sinner is established with Christ and grace, he'll say, in Christ I am. Outside of Christ, there's nothing holy about me. But he is my holiness. And in him, he said, as he is, so am I. Well, are you resting on the Sabbath? A heart that's established with grace will say, in Christ I am. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Because my Sabbath is not a day. It's a person. It's a person. This is not according to our works in any way, shape, or form. It's according to his grace. May our hearts be established with grace. Grace alone. I believe those old Puritan preachers, I believe they had it right. This is what they said. Let's not be carried about with divers and strange doctrines. It's scriptures alone, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, the glory of God alone. That's it. May God establish our heart with that. Till next week, the Lord bless his word.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.